This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Show of the week, and I just ran into a colleague from one of the local New York City stations out in the hallway. So if you don't know where we're located, CBS Sports Radio headquarters is in Lower Manhattan, and we share space on the 10th floor and 11th floor of our building with, I think six or seven local New York stations. Anyway, so I just ran into a colleague of mine who is starting her work week early on a Monday morning. Now, to me, it still feels like a sunny night. That's just how it is. I do not say good morning when I walk in the building at midnight, if it happens to be midnight. I definitely do not feel like it's morning until I'm on my way home from work at what is 6 a.m. local time. And so I try to put myself in the shoes of my colleagues as they're showing up early for their start of their work week. And so I said to her, happy Monday, even though, like I said, it doesn't feel as though it's a Monday to me. And she gives me this look of chagrin almost. Oh, I want to say it, but I just can't. That was her response.
That's polite, right?
I understand how she feels because it's difficult to jump back into a schedule, whether you are working third shift, second or third shift, like we are, or you are one of those early risers. I do not know how you all do it. So a lot of you are up this morning and you are already onto your Monday and into your routine. And I tell people all the time, I'd rather be up overnight than to work early mornings. I did it in my career before I started doing network radio. So it's been a while, but on two separate occasions in two different markets, I had morning duties and it was brutal for me because I am not a morning person. And also when you cover sports, it's nearly impossible to watch anything if you don't stay up at night. And so I would get into this really bad routine, just a terrible cycle, where I would get up at whatever time, 3:30 in the morning to be ready for my morning gig. And I would work, generally you work until about 11 o'clock or noon when you do a morning show. And then I would go home, I would eat lunch, I'd be exhausted, so I would take a nap. Only to wake up at, 5 o'clock, maybe work out, have dinner, watch sports, and then go to bed around midnight to wake up 3 hours later. And so that was the cycle I was stuck in. I was napping in the afternoon. I was napping for a couple of hours at night. I'm not one of those people who can talk intelligently about events that I haven't seen. I feel very much out of my comfort zone. And when you're working in local radio, there are essentially four or five teams tops that you need to know like the back of your hand. And so to not watch the local games every single night, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball, it's just not possible to be able to talk about those teams if that's all you cover, which is two or three teams. And you all know, you listen to local sports radio stations wherever you are, and the majority of their time is spent on the local teams. And so I could not go back to morning radio. I don't know how people do it. Now, overnights are difficult. They really are. They screw with my sleep schedule. In fact, I couldn't sleep at all on Friday night. I think I woke up every hour and finally gave up. I was supposed to wake up early so I could drive down to the Jersey Shore and enjoy a day at the beach, which was awesome. But very often when I know I have to wake up, whether it's in the afternoon or whether it's in the morning, I can't settle into a good REM sleep. So it was one of those nights where I knew I was going to get up. My plan was to go to bed at 10:30. That didn't happen. And so I was still on the phone. I had a couple of phone calls. I was still on the phone at 12 o'clock. And I finally said to my friend, okay, I have to go to bed. And so we hung up and I went to bed, but I didn't sleep well. However, the beach was totally worth it. It was a gorgeous, I mean, absolute perfection of a beach day. For those of you who had really nice weather over the weekend, I hope that you enjoyed it outdoors as well. Just an hour, a little over an hour drive to get to my favorite beach on the Jersey Shore. And I got there, drove right into the parking lot. There were very few people there at, say, 8:10 in the morning. And it was a very light breeze. Not even 80 at that point, 80 degrees. There was no humidity, so there were no bugs. It was a perfect day. I have a brand new lounge chair, too, that my mom gave me for my birthday, so I lugged it all the way out to the beach with my cooler and my beach bag and just plopped my rear end down and enjoyed some time, not looking at the clock, not thinking about work, not thinking about sports, and not thinking about my house that still is waiting for its repairs. Though, then when I did get home on Saturday afternoon to take care of the dog, what was waiting for me in my mailbox but the insurance check. So I guess now I can go forward and busy trying to hire contractors after the storm damage from Elsa. Oh, yes, I definitely needed a beach day. I hope you all had a great weekend as well. We're glad you're with us, whether you're still on your Sunday night like me or whether you are starting off your work week early, early. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you are interested in following the Olympics or catching up on some of the events that you missed, NBC, USA, NBC Sports Network, they're all either re-airing events or airing them for the first time. So USA has actually got some live events going on. This is really weird. Producer Dave, they have created a canyon with rapids. It's a man-made channel where they have created rapids. So they're not in an act. I mean, they're in a body of water, duh, but it's a canal essentially where they have created rapids by piping them in from the sides and by flushing the water through at a really high speed. And then there are these poles that are hanging from above and from, you know, these racks that are above, and the kayakers have to go through these gates. Almost like you're skiing. So if you only the gates are hanging down from above as opposed to being stuck into the snow. But it's really interesting. I've never seen any type of a competition like this where it's a man-made canal with rapids.
Yeah, I gave it like a triple take when I looked up before.
It's like a wave pool. Have you ever been to a place where it's a, like you go and you hang out at a water park and they create a wave pool? That's what this is. It's a wave pool. It's a rapid pool.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of. And I was like, wow, I've never seen this before. And it looks really ridiculously hard.
It does.
And like a really good workout too, because this guy's like bending and contorting in ways that I don't think are physically humanly possible, but
not for us. No, not for us. So yeah, so that's taking place on USA. Just about, I don't know, 2 hours ago, I was watching the USA France men's basketball game that, of course, took place not quite 24 hours ago, but on Sunday morning. And so that was being replayed on NBC Sports Network. Even now, so I'm about to see the men's 4x100 meter freestyle relay in the pool on big NBC. if you don't have it on, you just missed Katie Ledecky losing to the Australian who caught her in the final 100 meters of her first event, which was the 400 meter freestyle race. It's not her signature event, but she does have 8 of the 10 fastest times in history. And so she was definitely the gold medal favorite. And this is something that I didn't mention earlier in the show, but your nerd alert about swimming. Did you know at 24 years old, that's the first time Katie has ever lost an Olympic race? Meaning it's the first time she's ever not won the gold medal in any of the races or events that she's competed in at the Olympics. It's the first time she's ever not come away with gold. It's quite a standard to maintain. And so now I'm just watching Caleb Dressel, who was the first leg of the men's 4x100-meter freestyle relay. He's into the pool, and he set a great pace for the Americans. I think I used the term anchor earlier. I knew he wasn't the anchor, meaning the last leg. I meant to say anchor more as he set the standard. He is the gold medal favorite in a lot of these different games. It's his debut, and he's expected to be a breakout star. So I apologize if I was misleading earlier. Of course, I know the term anchor is one that they use to refer to the last guy or last woman in the pool. Anyway, Caleb Dressel was the first one in, and he set a blistering pace for the Americans, and then they maintained it and ended up winning that gold medal. Dressel is the one to watch. He's competing in 6 events in these Olympics. 6 events. It's a brutal schedule. 3 individual and 3 relay. And this was the first of his events, and he comes away with his first gold medal. We talked about some of the other surprises, like Team USA with an 8-point lead at the 4-minute mark against France, who admittedly was playing phenomenal defense and had a size advantage in the paint. So it reminded me a little bit of the Milwaukee Bucks with their size and length and reach advantage against the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. And Team USA is definitely a team that's going to play small ball more than not. Now, they do have guys like JaVale McGee, but for the most part, their big men, their bigs, quote unquote, are Kevin Durant, who's a wing player, and Draymond Green, who is a 4. He's a forward, but he also is a guy who gets up and down the court and doesn't have a ton of size. And then you throw in a Chris Middleton, who's just joined the team. It's guard dominant and it's wing dominant, as is the case for most American basketball. And so to have them give up an 8-point lead in the final 4 minutes was really stunning. It's not so much that they lost, though it was the first time in 26 games that they've lost at the Olympic level. We have seen them struggle in recent international competitions. I wouldn't say they were a lock for the gold medal, though they certainly are the favorite. The fact that they had an 8-point lead with 4 minutes to go is the part that stuns me, because both teams were playing really strong defense, and there were plenty of opportunities down the stretch where Team USA could have hit the big shot or a big shot to keep it close. But after Evan Fournier had his big 3, which was inside the final minute, he had a huge game. Team USA kept coming up empty, had multiple looks, were getting good rebounds, and have the best players in the world on their roster, like Damian Lillard, like Kevin Durant, like Drew Holiday, but could not get a shot to drop. And so that's got to be frustrating. Now for them, it's 2 pool play games remaining, and they've got to win those. Theoretically, that's what they need to get into the medal round. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Real good to have you with us as you start your work week, or maybe you're wrapping up your weekend. We also are going to work in some more baseball as Boston and New York explode into a free-for-all in the late stages of their game. And then also, the Texas Rangers have dropped 12 straight games, and it got me thinking, whew, are the Rangers among the worst franchises in sports right now? They might be. That's a topic that we really can't tackle with the remainder of the show, and on a Sunday night into a Monday morning, it's kind of difficult. But, you know, if you want to spray a little sunshine into your favorite sports fan's life, that's certainly a topic that we could do, and I have no doubt would result in 4 hours worth of consternation. But we also provide therapy if you need some therapy because you're really hurting for your favorite teams. And this is one of the ways that I give therapy to producer Dave is by baking. Now, there are two reasons for baking for producer Dave. Number one, his Jets are starting training camp this week, and he's very excited about Robert Saleh and the new head coach. And that's awesome. He doesn't think Zach Wilson is the future. So there's a little bit of trepidation there. But I was thinking of you after our conversation from last week in which you said that if the Jets win a Super Bowl in your lifetime, that'll be it. You won't need anything else from them. The euphoria and the goodwill from that Super Bowl victory will be all you ask for as a sports fan for the rest of your merry life.
That's
which,
it.
Which I thought was actually really sad.
But. Well, it is, but that's that says it all, doesn't it? The perspective that I have of my favorite football team in my 35 years of life, that all I need is one. Just one. It's all I need. And I think a lot of other Jets fans can probably commiserate.
Except I will tell you this. Once you get one, the feeling as a sports fan is, ooh, I want more of that. It's an addiction. I'll just be honest. It's a bit of an addiction.
See, I also have been a Yankees fan my whole life.
The adrenaline rush. Yeah. It's an addiction.
So I experienced that with the Yankees when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't feel bad for you anymore. I forgot about that.
No,
you're a Yankees fan.
It's the only team I have that I can write home about. The rest are just dumpster fires. But in terms of the Jets and football and how hard it is to be like the Patriots have been over the last 20 years, I'll just take one.
Just one. That's all, God. Please, just one. Are you willing to make a deal? Maybe sell your soul to the devil?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm on the Jerry Jones level of I'll do anything known to mankind or whatever he said.
He did. He said, I'll do anything to get to the Super Bowl. Anything known to man.
Yeah, no,
that's
I'm not
fact.
At that level. I think I'm a great fan. I'm passionate. Mm-hmm. I'm loyal.
Then maybe you don't really want to win that bad.
I do. I'm just not like whatever that means. I'm not doing anything, but I'm right there. Back it off a little bit from anything. I'm right there.
Maybe he's making deals with the Lord, the good Lord above. He thinks that he's got one good deal left in him.
Maybe.
He is a businessman.
But he give away all of the money he has to his name for a Super Bowl. That's anything known to mankind, isn't it?
Does that include giving away the yacht? So you give away the money or do you
everything.
You give away everything for a
everything.
Super Bowl?
Living a box the next night
well,
after the Super Bowl.
Winning a Super Bowl has its own earnings power, though. If you're starting from scratch. But wait, he'd give away the team, too?
Yeah,
that's a terrible hypothetical.
A complicated question.
Yes, it really is. So the other reason that I wanted to bring producer Dave some baked goods, and this is the recipe he told me that I should bake for the rest of my earthly life, is these oatmeal caramel chewy bars, and you love them, and so I hope that you've enjoyed them. I had to cut him off at 3 because he was about to reach in and grab some more.
I was taking yours, too. That's right.
Yes. But the other reason I wanted to do that for him is because he worked really hard over the last couple of weeks to try to secure some great interviews, and they really paid off. And I did this post on both our Twitter and our Facebook on Sunday just to kind of remind you to have Jennifer Rosati, before the USA women's basketball assistant coach, went to Tokyo, to have Adia Barnes, the Arizona women's basketball coach who guided her team to the national championship game for the first time in their school history, to have Eddie Johnson right on the heels of the NBA Finals Game 6. And he, of course, is a former sixth man of the year, a great basketball mind. Leroy Butler with us last week as well. And then Vashti Cunningham, the Olympic high jumper, who's a gold medal favorite, will be heading to Tokyo in the next couple of days. We also had Jessica Mendoza and Steve Futterman from Tokyo live when they joined us on the show. And then Joe Theismann, too. And so I wanted to thank producer Dave with baked goods, because I know the key to his heart is through his stomach, but also just to publicly thank you for the hard work for the last couple of weeks. It was almost like we were running through either a March Madness week or another Super Bowl week with the caliber of interviews we had, but really important to do that because we felt like the start of training camp and also the start of the Olympics was a big opportunity for us, and I'm pleased with the guests that we had. Let's quick talk to Jerry, who's in Washington, D.C. Jerry, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy. How's the family? How's your mom? How's your grandma?
They're all great. Thank you so much for asking.
Great. I want to thank you and your producer for bringing Joe Theismann on air. That guy, we love him. We still love him. I still go to his restaurant in Virginia. That guy was spectacular. I mean, whatever he could talk, he could walk it. We love that guy. And, Amy, what people don't realize, yeah, he did return punts. He made a comment one time with the media that he was sitting on the bench getting hemorrhoids, so he was like, I got to get out here and play. And he was a good returner. He wasn't bad. And the reason why his nose was broken so much, because back then, Theismann, Billy Kilmer, Sonny Jurgensen, all three quarterbacks on our team, all wore one ring, one bar helmets. So you're definitely going to get your nose broke. Okay, it was just too funny. But that guy had heart, tenacity. I mean, whatever he said he was going to do, he did. And he didn't talk a lot about himself. But the most spectacular thing I ever seen was two things. Against the Los Angeles Raiders around 1983, we were losing by about 21 points in the fourth quarter at RFK Stadium. And they came back, and Theismann ended up throwing for 425 yards. And we won the game. We got into a lot of fights broke out that day because they were the Raiders, okay? We showed them what was up. We got hood on them over here in Southeast Washington. And then another game he played against the St. Louis Cardinals back in Busch Stadium. The Cardinals didn't know what to do with him. They blitzed him. They threw eight guys around him. And our sportscaster, whose name was Glenn Brenner, said he was surrounded by more Cardinals than the Pope, and he still got the ball off to Frank Grant for a touchdown. He could do no wrong.
Uh-huh.
And we love that guy till this day, Amy.
Well, you
God bless him.
Yeah, you're welcome, though you do not have to thank us. That's what we do around here, in case you hadn't noticed.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
All right, Jerry, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I could have talked to Joe for another hour. I wanted to ask him about being a restaurant owner during the pandemic. I wanted to ask him so many other questions, but the conversation took a turn that I wasn't expecting. And as part of being a good interviewer, and one of the skills that I've learned is you don't attempt to control the interview. You allow it to breathe. You let it go where it needs to go. And in his case, to be able to ask him about the positives behind that career-ending injury that he suffered, but also to ask his perspective on Alex Smith, and then to hear what he had to say about training camp and how much he loved football, and to really kind of admonish players who would take it for granted. Not necessarily what I anticipated for the conversation, but great stuff. And you could hear why he is a sought-after inspirational speaker, because he has a lot to say and can speak not only from his own personal journey in sports, but his own personal life journey. Again, all of our interviews are podcasted separately, so you can always go back and grab them. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. They're marked very clearly. You're just looking for the name on the podcast page, and you click on the one line, and the audio file starts playing right away. I do it all the time to go back and listen to interviews, or also to share them, whether it be on social media, or often share them with family and friends. So I have an aunt who lives in Tucson. She's a huge Arizona basketball fan, and she was so excited that I spoke to Adia Barnes. It was so thrilled that I was able to send her that interview. So super easy. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. If you haven't yet bookmarked the website, that's the location of our podcast. Because fine, I don't expect you to listen to all 4 hours live 5 nights or mornings per week. I mean, it's brownie points if you do, but I suppose that if you have to miss an hour here or there, that's the beauty of the podcast. All right, coming up, it is a little bit odd to think about Max Scherzer getting dealt from the Washington Nationals, but that is a possibility, as well as others who are on the trade block. Also, the Texas Rangers, they are sinking further into the abyss. And OU in Texas, Oklahoma and Texas could be on their way to the SEC. That was making the rounds last week as football coaches and athletic directors all over the country were meeting for media days. And so there's some interesting responses to that possibility. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shohei swings and drives the ball deep into right field, and that one is out of here. It's been a while between home runs for Shohei. That is number 35 of the season, a major league high. And today in Minneapolis, Sunday is showtime. It's 3-2 Angels.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
Just his second home run since the All-Star break, but this is what happens when you set the bar high and you set the pace. It's not just Shohei Ohtani who's come out of the All-Star break a little bit slower than he went in. Vladimir Guerrero has 32, so he's still three behind Shohei. Fernando Tatis is sitting on 30 home runs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Terry Smith with the call on the Angels Radio Network. And as if we don't have enough going on, we're now in the last week of July, which means that there will be some trades before the deadline on July 31st. And one of the names being rumored, one of the big names that's out there is Max Scherzer of the Nationals. He was pulled from a start with a sore triceps, but there's been a lot of conversation around the Nationals, who are at 45-53, 8 games below .500. And then when you look at the standings in the NL East, and it's been such a strange year for the NL East, the Mets are still the only team above 500. For a while, the Phillies crept above 500, and the Braves are getting closer. But if the Mets can find some offense, if Pete Alonso can continue his post-All-Star break tear, well, then it's going to be harder to catch them. The Phillies are at 500. The Braves are a couple games back, though they're without Ronald Acuna Jr. And then the Nationals, 8 games back after dropping 4 games in a row. That I always wonder, though, about what could be a vicious cycle. Is a team losing because it sucks, therefore you need to trade away some pieces and make sure that you get something in return, take advantage of an opportunity when you don't believe that your team will compete for a playoff spot, or is it all the trade talk that is causing your team to be distracted and wondering if they're going to get a phone call or get that call to come into the manager's office, and thus they're not as focused on what's right in front of them, which is attempting to win games and not have your guys get traded?
Everybody's worried about getting traded. Everybody's hearing rumors. We need to focus on staying present. That's what we need to do, and focus on winning one game at a time and go out there and do your best to win for the Nats.
Well, that's Davey Martinez, and we know that he can inspire a locker room. He can lead through adversity. Remember, they were down and out and done and finished until they weren't. One of the worst records in baseball was it May? They were 12 games below 500 the year they won the World Series, and they managed to come back and not only win the World Series, but face elimination game after elimination game after elimination game. And so this locker room does have a lot of guys who are tougher in adversity, mentally and physically tough. But Max is being discussed in potential trades, and there are others who could be on the trade block as well. And that does tend to shake up a clubhouse. So Davey Martinez is going to have to keep them focused forward. But losing 4 straight as you go into the final week of July is definitely not the best foot forward. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It could always be worse, right? I keep reminding myself that when I think about my house and the fact that I am missing half a ceiling and parts of 2 walls, and that it seems as though my house is a disaster and there's 2 rooms I can't use, and I'm worried about finding contractors. I remind myself I could have a tree that had dropped onto my house right through my roof, and I could have a tarp over part of my house, which would be a heck of a lot worse. So Washington Nationals, it could be worse. You could be the Texas Rangers that have just dropped your 12th straight game, worst stretch since 1982. That's a long time. It's nearly 30 years, but they lose 3-1 to the Astros Sunday, and now Chris Woodward is trying to figure out how to get the ship turned around. The ship, not the other word.
The one thing I will promise, you know, everybody watching this, is that we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop working. We're not going to stop competing. We're not going to stop believing in these guys.
In case you're wondering, in case you're keeping score at home, the record for the Rangers organization, or for this franchise, is 15 consecutive losses. That goes back another 10 years. Let's see whether or not they approach that. That was under manager Ted Williams, remember? Team's first, I mean, it was pre-me, but I'm saying I know the history. It was the team's first season after moving from Washington. So, oh, what a tangled web. It's only 3 degrees of separation, really. Coming up are the Oklahoma and Texas football teams. And it wouldn't just be football, it'd be all their sports. But you know, football drives the bus. Are Oklahoma and Texas about to separate from the Big 12 and help to form a massive power conference that would be the SEC? Remember, the ACC had done it for basketball purposes, essentially, because of all the great basketball schools in that conference. Well, the SEC, it's known for its football and some other sports as well, but football drives the bus in SEC country. Why would they take Oklahoma and Texas? I had one friend ask me that question on the phone on Sunday, and the reaction from others around the college sports world, man, change, it is afoot. Underfoot, above the ground, underground, in ground. I don't know. It sounded weird. 855-212-4227. Speaking of weird, why don't you like tell you briefly about a conversation I heard among three teenage boys who were biking past me and Penny in my neighborhood on Saturday. It might have been one of the funniest conversations I've ever heard. It did not make me feel old. I'll just say that right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All aboard!
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Sheila, thanks so much for tuning in.
Thank you. I go back to the days of the 70s, and I became Stabler's number one fan for the Hall of Fame. And unfortunately, they're not going to put me in because they said that they weren't taking fans. And I'm really upset because Kenny would want me in there.
So you think you should be in the Hall of Fame as a fan?
That's right.
But why, though? What is your contribution to the game that you believe should get you into the Hall of Fame?
I've been with everything with the NFL. I just like a player. I'm no different. That's just the way it is.
Well, I appreciate you telling us your story.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Forever, one of my favorite sayings will be, find those people in life who are your kind of crazy. Uh-huh. So whatever, we're on a crazy train. We just need to ride that train with people who speak our language of crazy, right? People call me crazy all the time, and that's fine. It just means you're unique, you're different, you stand out. I mean, sometimes it can mean you're actually crazy, but you know. We interpret it a lot of different ways in the sports radio world and actually in my world. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you have not checked Facebook, I posted a photo, my perspective from where I was on Saturday morning. Got there early and left some footprints in the sand, baby. It was exactly what I needed this weekend, a perfect beach day. So I hope that you found whatever you needed this weekend as well. Thank you so much for listening. So that's our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The photo has been up on Twitter since Saturday morning, but I'll retweet it when I have an opportunity to get back to Twitter, A-Law Radio. Are we doing a Man Crush Monday poll, Producer Dave? Because we're getting close to the final hour of the show, and I have not seen one yet. Now, I suppose you could have done it when I wasn't looking.
I did not do it yet. Okay. I wanted to consult you because there are many, many.
Consult me. You've been busy eating those three oatmeal caramel chewy bars.
They're gone.
No, they're not. You ate all three at once.
Empty plates already in the garbage. Oh, fantastic. It went really good with my coffee.
All three all at once?
Within like a 5-minute span.
Holy cow.
That's why I was trying to steal the fourth one from you.
Nope. I've got to give that to another one of our colleagues because I have to prove to him that I am actually a good baker. Anyway, my name has been, it's been slandered in the office by someone that I shared my baked goods with. And so because of that, I need to fight back. And I fight back by bringing in treats.
Shame on that person.
Exactly. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Before we get to a little talk about this realignment, conference realignment, which is a very real possibility, even as everything in the college sports landscape changes in 2021. I wanted to mention a couple of things. I know we've been talking about some of the disappointments from the Olympics for the United States. Now, there have been many more triumphs, but there have been a few disappointments. One of those, of course, being USA men's basketball losing a game at the Olympic level for the first time in nearly 20 years. Another disappointment, Katie Ledecky. Now, she's very decorated. She still has her best events, but in the 400-meter individual freestyle, she was tracked down in the final 100 meters and bypassed, and she settled, quote-unquote, for silver, which is, it's really surprising, though I suppose when you're racing against a woman whose nickname is the Terminator, that is always the case. But Australia's Ariane Titmus chased her down. It was supposed to be one of the best races of the games. It definitely lived up to the hype. Ledecky was in front by nearly a body length halfway through, and Titmus just steadily tracked her down. And so for her, this is humongous because Ledecky owns 8 of the top 10 times in the world in this event. And she finally was able to beat her head to head. So that's pretty amazing. Though Ledecky still has other events to go, and she did grab a silver. And then another disappointment. Not sure if you all saw this headline. This blows me away. John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau both test positive for COVID and are out of the Olympics golf competition. Bryson, maybe that doesn't surprise me just because of the travel and the events that he's played and everything else. Rahm, it blows me away. It's crushing for him. This is John Rahm, world number one, who had to withdraw from the Memorial Tournament in Ohio in early June because he had COVID. Do you remember he was up by, what was it, 6 strokes at the point at which he had to withdraw? He was playing so well. Now, I know he came back, right, and won the U.S. Open. Sometimes the details, they all blend together. It's been a busy summer. He comes back and he finds redemption at the major level, which is great. But he said at the time, if I had had it to do all over again, I would have gotten vaccinated sooner. Meaning he was vaccinated when he tested positive, but he was still within that 10-day window where they tell you it takes 10 days before the vaccination becomes complete, so to speak, or as effective as it's going to be. He just tested positive again for COVID. Now, this isn't the same virus because he's been tested multiple times since the Memorial, right? So he wouldn't have been able to participate in the U.S. Open had he not passed multiple negative tests. So he's jumped through this hoop time and time and time again. And now he tests positive for the second time since he's been vaccinated. I didn't even know that was possible. I didn't know it was possible to test positive twice in the span of 2 months, but I also didn't know it was possible to test positive twice after you'd been vaccinated. And of course, when people hear the story, what do? They jump to conclusions. I actually had some guy send me a tweet. Of course, he doesn't have a photo. He just has his you know, like egg for an avatar. Morons who won't get vaccinated. I mean, you can't assume that. We continue to have, and it's athletes that I'm hearing more and more about. We continue to have athletes test positive for COVID well after they've been vaccinated. He's been vaccinated for 2 months and he just tested positive for a second time and had to withdraw from the Olympics. I mean, that's brutal. Brutal for him, just personally, to have to go through this struggle after he thought he did what he was supposed to do to remain healthy. So I really feel for him and Bryson, too. Bryson's had a roller coaster ride of a 2021, some self-induced, but I hate it for any athlete who is so close to realizing their Olympic dream and then has to pull out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so the rumors are flooding the college sports world. Oklahoma and Texas, will they soon declare their intent to depart from the Big 12 to the SEC? And did you know that there was a conference call with Big 12 officials on Sunday, along with Texas and Oklahoma, their athletic directors and their powers that be, to try to figure out whether or not this is moving forward? Here's the reaction from a former Big 12 football coach or a Big 12 school. The coach is Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri. They're already in the SEC, and he was asked to respond to the rumors on SiriusXM.
we're the best in college football for a reason, and everybody wants to join, you know. And so if you're a recruit, you probably ought to sign up early for the SEC and then see if OU and Texas are allowed in, because it's an exclusive club, and just because you want in don't mean you get in. And we'll see. I leave that up to the commissioner. Obviously, that's why you have a commissioner, to look around the bend and see what the future of college football is and how do you position your conference to stay in that way. If that's what they choose to do, great. If not, I'm not going to lose any sleep on it. I've got a lot of issues at Mizzou, and worrying about Texas and OU ain't one of them, okay? And so on a daily basis, I'm worried about how do we continue to improve our product? How do we continue to recruit our state better than anywhere else? How do we find a way to close the gap between the Georgia and Floridas of the world? You know, so that's my focus. I'm not going to waste a lot of energy about hypotheticals.
That's Eli Drinkwitz, who, again, was part, well, the Missouri was part of the Big 12 until they made the jump to the SEC on SiriusXM. And one more reaction. This is from Miami Athletic Director Blake James, who was a guest on Tiki and Tierney on Friday here on CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, his reaction was one of surprise.
Caught everyone by surprise. And so I've had individual conversations with a number of people in our league, but it's not anything where we've come together and said, okay, here's what we're looking at, or here's what we're thinking, or anything like that. I think, you know, that's something we have to always be in conversation about, what's best for us collectively as a group. And then you have to think about, you know, your individual institution, and we'll look at how this plays out. We'll, I'm sure, position ourselves to be in a position to come out of this in the best spot possible as a group.
And why does it matter to other conferences like the one that Miami plays in, the ACC? Well, because there will be a domino effect. If Texas and Oklahoma jump from the Big 12 to the SEC, well, then the Big 12 needs to find schools to fill their spots. Remember, they're already below 12, and so they've already struggled. The last round of conference realignment really left them in a tough position. But then what about the ACC? How do you keep up with the Joneses, so to speak? So as teams start to move around, especially high-profile football programs like Oklahoma and Texas, and really high-profile athletic departments, they've got huge amounts of money they can take with them. And so a friend of mine who graduated from an SEC school said, why would the SEC take OU in Texas? And I said, it's really simple, because of the money and because of the footprint and because they'd like to have a bigger presence in the state of Texas, or a presence in Oklahoma, where they can draw on more fans and more money. And of course, they get a different, you know, TV footprint as well. And they're in more TV markets. And so you add this meeting, this conference call with the Big 12 chairman of the board of directors, as well as the presidents of Texas and Oklahoma on Sunday. So it's not a done deal, but everybody's talking.